Again, I count it a great privilege to be back here this morning and thankful that the Lord has provided a good night's sleep. I trust that He has for you as well. Very thankful for you and for me too for the wonderful rain that's fallen this morning. I woke up and I thought somebody was outside throwing little rocks against the window. And I finally woke up enough to figure out it was rain. I thank the Lord for it then. I want to say before I begin that I'm so thankful and appreciate the kind hospitality that you have shown to me and all the other visitors who have been with you during this meeting, and you've been far kinder than we should have ever expected, provided everything that we had need of, fed us wonderfully, been very friendly to us, and we'll just thank you so much for it. I invite you very cordially to come anytime that you happen to be in the eastern part of Tennessee, around Knoxville. That's where our little church is. And if you happen to come through there or come to visit, we'd love to have you come and be with us at the Grace Primitive Baptist Church in Loudoun, Tennessee. Much has been said in the discourses that have gone before from Thursday night on forward that have been an inspiration and have been a goad under the skin, and it ought to be. I want to make a statement. I ask you to keep this statement in your mind as I try to speak for just a little while, the thoughts that the Lord has placed on my heart. Elder Mike Ivey, among many others, preached a wonderful discourse yesterday. I've lose track of days. He sort of followed on the heels of what Brother Don said, Ferris, in an earlier message. Both of those made me uncomfortable. I just confess to you, they did. And the reason they made me uncomfortable was not because it was wrong. It was because of how it touched me and stirred up in me the understanding that in my own life and walk with the Lord, that I find myself desiring comfort many times. I've attended many training sessions and seminars in my secular work over the years, and usually if they're trying to teach you something that's a little out of the ordinary, an instructor will inevitably say, "I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone. I don't like it. I don't like to be taken out of my comfort zone. I like to be in the comfort zone. I enjoy." I'm a creature of habit just like you are, I'm sure, and I enjoy the ordinary. I know that's somebody said, "Well, you're just getting old." That's right, I am. But I enjoy stability. I don't like things getting stirred up. I don't like it. But here's the statement. Without conflict, the story will not advance. Now, I'm not an author by any means of novels, but I've read a lot of them. And my understanding is that you and I would not even get past a certain point in a book if something didn't happen that was a conflict and it needed to be solved. And that's why we keep reading to see how that's going to get done. Well, that's the same thing I believe that is true in terms of our walk with the Lord. Conflict advances the story. Now, I hope to show you just a little bit about what I mean by that. If you turn with me to the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, as you're turning, I'll give you a 2-minute encapsulation of from the day of Pentecost on forward. A little band of 120 souls met in an upper room, and they were sad. They were uncertain. They had heard all the gracious words that Jesus had said, and I believe the only thing they knew to do at that particular point in time was to do what Jesus said at last, after that he was raised from the dead and before he ascended back to the Father, And he said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That's what they were doing. That's all they knew to do. They were sad. They were confused. But then that great outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost came, and with power, Brother Peter stood up and began to preach to them, and their hearts were encouraged. They saw the manifestation of the glory of God come among them. They were rejoicing and happy to be there. They had come out of duty, by the way, not only because Jesus had told them to, but because it was Pentecost. And they were good Jews, and they were supposed to be there. And they rejoiced. You know, you can go back to Acts, hold your place there in 11. I'll come back. Verse 41 of the second chapter. Listen, I love these words, don't you? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and good, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Wonderful. Let's don't ever leave. Let's stay right here. This is great. This is wonderful. And it was. But it wasn't God's design that they stay right there. Now skip back to chapter 11. Verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. Let's stop there for just a minute. Immediately. After that great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, trouble came on the church. Trouble began to come, and they began to be persecuted. Brother Stephen, you know the story. We heard part of it in days past, how that he was stoned because he preached the truth to those Pharisees and who were there, and they did not want to hear it, and they stoned him. Now, that's where we've come in here, because there was a great persecution then that began, not only of certainly Stephen, but of others that were there. And that persecution was so great and so severe that they could not stay where they were. That's sad, isn't it? Well, let's read on and see if it's really sad or not. Because he says this, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. There it is. Would they have ever left on their own? I don't know. Maybe some of them would have had family obligations they'd go back home for and so forth. But because that this great persecution arose about the stoning of Stephen, then they dispersed and they went back to the far lands that they had come from in some cases, or someone is just as far as Antioch. And as they went proclaiming the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his death and his burial and his resurrection, and what that meant to them and what they understood about it that had been revealed to them. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, that's where that you and I need to understand. We have been exhorted, those who have been privileged to attend, we have been exhorted. We have been exhorted. In one case, we were asked the question, do we want to live the same kind of life that Jesus Christ lived on this earth? That's not the exact words, but that's the meaning of it. Now, immediately we say, yes. The brother went on to say, you better think about that. Because what that means is you're not going to be comfortable. You're not going to be comfortable. Now, this was brought up last evening. I understand, and I love the scripture where the Bible says in the book of Isaiah in chapter 40, comfort ye Comfort ye my people there and cry unto them that their warfare is accomplished, that their iniquity is pardoned, and so forth. That comfort is the initial comfort of the Holy Ghost, which comes to us and reveals to us that God has done for us that which we could not do for ourselves. That's the comfort that's being talked about there. It's the comfort of the assurance of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and that based upon the merit of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the comfort that's being talked about there. But you and I are not ever told to get comfortable. What was it Brother Ivy said? I confess that I've many times been at ease in Zion. So have we all, I'm sure. We've been at ease in Zion. Now, I don't know. I can't tell you what it is that God has called you to do in terms of what I'm speaking about here today. But I do believe this, that when conflict arises in our lives, we ought never to say, this must be the hand of the Lord upon me. Because something must have gone wrong. I must not be doing something right. It may be he's moving you away from where you're so comfortable that you're not doing what he would have you to do, that he's moving you to the place where that you would then begin to do what he would have you to do in terms of telling forth the good things of God and what he's done for you in your life. I've said this many times in my growing up years. I knew many dear saints of God in the church that I grew up in who never said a word. Really didn't ever say anything. They didn't give a testimony. They didn't, some of them I never even heard pray. But I still have a vision in my mind and in my heart of those dear old saints who simply filled their place, who simply, and I know now we're praying, for the church, for the elder, for the good of Zion. I know that they were because that the evidence came later on in my understanding for it. God's not calling each and every person to go out and leave all their goods behind and go out and stand on a street corner proclaiming the gospel. I don't think that's necessary, and maybe for some, but I believe that he has called us, brothers and sisters, to go forth proclaiming the good things that God has done for us. And when we do that, and it doesn't have to be with, you know, grab somebody by the arm and say, let me tell you what God's done for me. If you and I are living our lives in such a way that people will look upon us and see there's a difference in us somewhat, they may not understand what that difference is, and they probably won't. But when they are with us long enough to see that there's a difference, they'll begin to ask. They'll begin to wonder. There will be opportunities opened up to us to simply share what God has done for us. When we do that, a great number may believe and turn unto the Lord. I know that the pattern of this is solid in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament here, in this book of Acts especially. I want to turn back to, I believe it's the 8th chapter now. I may not get this one right. Let's go back to chapter 6 for just a minute. Even back before we find the account of Stephen, we find that there arose a conflict in the church. And the conflict was because that the apostles were expected to provide these goods were being brought in, and there needed to be a distribution of things, and they depended on the apostles. There wasn't anybody else named to do it. I won't go there. It doesn't take anybody being named to do it. Just my grandmother used to. I know she was aggravated at me, and she would tell me more times than one, I don't have to tell you everything to do. You see something needs to be done, you go do it. Now, I wasn't very observant because I didn't want to see something need to be done, but she was teaching me a lesson to say, be on the lookout. If something needs to be done, don't say, well, I wonder who's going to do that. Go do it. That's, by the way, I want you to know I have observed that here this weekend. I'm thankful for what I've seen. that you, brothers and sisters, have not waited for somebody to say, now who's going to do this? You go do that. No, you've just gone and done it. Now, you may have had it all organized, but I don't know about it. That's fine. I'm sure you did have to some point. There was a dispute that arose because the Greeks, by the way, it's one against the other. There was a conflict, the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, and we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now, I've read all that this to show you that there was a conflict, there was a need for resolution of that conflict. I believe they prayed and followed the Lord's leadership in that, and in doing so, they established a pattern for the New Testament church today. I believe the deacons were, the pattern of the deaconship was shown here, and when they did these things, according to how God would have those things to be done. Look at verse 7. And the word of God increased. Yes, brothers and sisters, when we do things right, there's going to be an increase. Now, it may not be in numbers right away. I believe it will eventually in some cases, but I need an increase every day. I need to grow in knowledge and in grace every day. And I dare say for you, so do you. We need to continue to advance. We don't need to just say, well, I used to hear this in the mountains of East Tennessee. It was sort of a joke, but someone would ask a man something and he'd say, you know, I used to know that, but I can't remember it. I used to know it. Well, let's don't be that way. Let's keep moving. Well, when that happens, the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. What a power that was given to them. Out of conflict, the story advanced. Out of conflict, the story advances in terms of the church today. I got this on my mind yesterday, and as I get older especially, I don't know where I'm going to end up with this, so I'm just going to end here in a little while, but my father was a great, not only my pastor when I needed a pastor, but also he was my natural father, of course, and I loved him and respected him for that, but he was also probably the best friend I had on earth. And, you know, when he passed away now 5 years ago, I'll confess to you, I didn't know exactly what to do. And I knew what to do. But somehow it didn't seem right. And I've heard just bits and pieces of some of you here in this place. There are those who have been among you, who have been those you looked up to and loved and respected, and who were the stalwarts of the church, and they've gone on. And it's hard to adjust to that sometimes. I thought about this yesterday, how the sadness sometimes that comes. Who was it? You, I believe, Brother Randy. Said, this is 100 and something, and there's none of those living who were at the first one. And yet here we are. Here we are. I think about the concept of this, and this always attracted me as a young boy. I was interested in especially Civil War history, but I always studied the flag bearers. You know, the flag bearers were, they didn't last long because they were out front. They raised that flag. The flag, and I know this from my military experience, I used to love to march, and I used to wait with great anticipation because the flag bearer, there would be a command, and he would raise that flag up. And when he raised it up straight up, you know, we're getting ready to move here. And then he would move it forward. And when he moved it forward, whether we could hear the one calling the cadence or not, we moved. Well, that flag bearer in a battle didn't last very long. But every time, inevitably, if there were men behind him, when that one fell, someone came and picked that flag up. He hadn't been assigned to pick it up. He just saw the need. And that's what's happened here. That's what's happened in all the places in God's kingdom where the church has continued to move and continued to grow. And it is sometimes with great sadness when the flag bearer falls. But when we come along and we pick up that flag behind them, and brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what, we're through conflict, we're advancing the story. God, I believe, intends for His church, and He's told us in His word that His church will stand as long as this earth stands. And I said this Thursday night, and I believe it, and I hope to be where His church is as long as I'm on this earth. And I trust that you do too. But there's going to be conflict. There's going to be conflict. Some of it's unnecessary. Some of it's caused by men who ought not to cause the conflict, but they do. But you and I need not become so discouraged in that we say, well, there's just too much conflict. I don't feel like I can go on. In conflict, many times, there is a freedom given to us to move away from the things that we may have been comfortable with and move on to the things that the Lord would have us to do next. When Brother Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, he admonished them, and here are the exact words in the 5th chapter of the Galatian letter. He said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Where did that come from? Men had come, I believe that they were believers. The pattern of it was in the New Testament church, that those believing Jews, the Bible says many times, would come, and where they found that especially the Gentiles, who they didn't think had the right pattern anyhow, they'd come behind them and say, "Oh, no, 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 you can't do that. No, here's what you must do. You must do this. You must be circumcised and so forth in order to come into this thing." And Brother Paul now is writing to a group of people who have listened to that, and he tells them to stand fast. Now, Thursday night, if I remember correctly, I started in 2 Timothy chapter 1, where Brother Paul said, "Hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me, which you have received of me in truth and love as it is in Christ Jesus." Hold fast. Here he says, stand fast. Stay with this thing. Stay with this thing. Now, the word stand fast, and I'm sorry to bring out all these military examples, but it's from 18 years old, it was emblazoned in my mind. The word stand fast, the command to stand fast, doesn't mean go sit down. It means you're going to be moving again in a minute, but just stay where you are for right now. Stand fast, stand fast. Somebody else is moving, and you may have a tendency to move, but the command is stand fast. Brother Paul says, you stand fast. Don't move away from this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, I should hesitate to go to these kind of passages because it tends to make you want to expound on that too much. But here we find, brothers and sisters, that Brother Paul says, stand fast Now, in what condition? In liberty. Stand fast in, don't stand fast in law. Don't stand fast in restrictions. Don't listen to those who say, no, you can't go over there. You don't go over here. You gotta believe like we believe. No. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And brothers and sisters, there's something about liberty. And I'm going to finish with this. I hadn't gone exactly like I thought it might, but I'm going to finish with this. I encourage God's people to understand that we are going to be, and indeed we are called upon to be ready to move. To move away from the things of comfort of life, to move to true life. But where we have liberty, there we may stand fast. Now, Brother Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and he says this. He's talking about the minds of those unbelieving Jews, and he says, verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. In other words, they were still trying to stand in the law, and they were comfortable in that place. There was a great comfort to them that they believed they were right and all the others were wrong. They were staying there. But he says, even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, that heart, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I have felt the Spirit of the Lord in this place. I trust that I felt His liberty, not in worship. I've enjoyed every bit of it. I thank God for you. Continue to pray for us. May the Lord bless you and continue to pray for Brother Kirkpatrick as he comes. I'm sorry I'm not going to get to stay to listen to him, but pray the Lord would bless each one.